This is CliffCentral.com.
News just in. I think this is literally breaking news right now. There are reports currently that President Robert Mugabe has passed away. So
former
President Robert Mugabe has passed away. We're also just trying to piece all of these reports and news stories together, and we'll be able to relay that to you. But in the meantime, we have our listener, origin from Zim Elson, who's on the line, and he's one of the people who wants to chat to us about this. So, good morning, Elson. How are you doing?
Hey, yeah. Wagwan.
Ogwami.
What does Ogwami mean?
I presume it's good morning.
I said Wagwan. That's like patois. For hello.
And goodbye to Robert Mugabe.
Damon.
No.
Well, oh, man. Well, I hope it's not true.
No, it's all been confirmed. All credible news sources, the Daily Mirror.
All sources that are. Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
no, it's been totally confirmed.
Yeah, well, I heard about it. He has this former information minister called Jonathan Moyo, who's hiding somewhere in Kenya, who tweeted something kind of related to that. So it might be true this time, because he's died way more times than Jesus.
Well, Elson, where are you currently, and how did you find out about this news?
Well, I got a couple of friends that were in the government the time that he was there. So I got a couple of texts yesterday. I'm in Zambia right now. I was in Zim a week ago. So yeah, that's actually why I was calling, just to let you guys know that, well, this time it might be true.
Oh, so you were getting messages yesterday. Okay.
Yeah, last night.
Okay.
Yeah. But I didn't pay any attention to it, because there's been way too many of these rumors in the past that he's died.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah, well, there might be some truth to it this time.
No. Definitely. It's all mirror, themirror.co.uk, mm-hmm. Zimbabwe. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, the Secretary for Education for the opposition party tweeted, "Rest in peace, Robert Mugabe. My response to your passing is complicated. I'm going to write a long piece. However, for now, deepest condolences to his family."
Yeah, passed away in Singapore, in a Singapore hospital.
Yeah. And you know, the biggest twist is, I think about a month ago, he did say that when he dies, he no longer wants to be buried in the Hero's Acre, where, like, government officials are buried, because of how he was kicked out of power.
Oh, does he want to be shot out of a cannon? So what does he want to do?
Well, in his hometown, I guess.
Okay, refresh our memory. Yeah. His hometown is.
It's a small village after a town called Norton. It's called Zimba.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you been there, Damon?
No.
Okay.
No, never.
All right. No, that's fine. All right. Yeah, that was what I had called in for.
Man.
But how are you feeling? Yeah. How are you feeling as a Zimbabwean?
Well, a little confused, to be honest, because and I'm pretty sure most Zimbabweans are as well, because, well, when he was there, people hated him because he single-handedly fucked over the economy.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems as though things have gotten considerably worse since he's left. Such that people tend to quickly forget how terrible he was when he was there, because things are now a lot more worse now with this new administration that is there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's almost like people are divided. People kind of feel like he was a lot better in the sense that he would not let things get to a certain level where they are now. So it's almost a catch-22. But he really did mess the economy up. But yeah, as I said initially, I'm just a little confused, because now things are a lot more worse than they used to be when he was there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Look, 95 years old.
That's
I think what strikes me as well, and correct me if I'm wrong, what comes into play is this African tradition to not speak ill of the dead, no matter how bad that person was when they were alive. And I think we're going to see a lot of that with the passing of Robert Mugabe. Like all these messages coming through so far have been really positive. Rest in peace, etc., etc.
Yeah.
And it irritates me.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, it irritates me. I don't know why people do that. But anyway,
I don't get that either. Nobody's really going to remember the hundreds of thousands of people that he killed. I don't know if you know of an event that happened called Kukurahundi.
In the Matabili land massacres? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
That was in 1982, I think. I can't remember. Or 81.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. So
look, I think, but at the same time, no matter how bad Mugabe was, you got to try still be historically accurate. And as bad as things have been in Zimbabwe, I honestly don't think you're talking about hundreds and thousands of deaths. I don't think you had mass genocide on that scale.
It was actually
hundreds and thousands. I mean, that's you're talking about almost a million people
on the number,
then.
But I think it's pretty close to that.
Okay.
I could be off. I could be a little off on the
number. Well, we'll put our research department onto that.
Pardon, Alison, what was that?
No, I'm saying I could be a little off on the numbers, but it was almost to that same magnitude. It was that terrible because essentially there was more of a civil war, right? So that the white man is out and there was one of two black people who were now meant to rule Zim, either him or Joshua Nkomo. So they now had to fight each other to see who was going to take the reins. And as a result, he ended up slaughtering a whole bunch of Ndebele people to send a message that he had a lot more power than another black guy. Yeah.
Man.
And the question is, the question I've always wondered for the last few years is, what has Singapore got about Zimbabwe? Like, why did Singapore open their arms how did that Singapore connection happen?
I don't even think
obviously there's some explanation to that.
I can answer that with one word, Damon. Money.
Yeah.
So did he ship a lot of money to Singapore?
Oh man. So there's word that about 4 years ago, so you know that there were diamonds that were found in Zim, right?
Yes.
Of the diamonds that were mined, $15 billion went missing.
Okay.
Yeah, and word has it that it was Bob, his wife, and one fat ass former minister called Obed Mpofu. Three people. And the last guy that I mentioned allegedly owns over 80% of the Victoria Falls.
What?
Sure.
Yeah, run your Googles here. Run Obed Mpofu properties in Victoria Falls. He owns 80% of it.
What's amazing with human nature is when is it enough? So like
it never is.
That's 1 billion, though. 2 billion, you got to have 8, how many did you say? 18 billion?
15.
You got to have 15 billion. It's
you know what they could have done to the Zim economy right now?
Sure. And now he's dead. So
it's a close of a chapter. It was a good innings, 95. Man.
You keep on saying if he's dead. That's
white,
interesting.
Almost in 95.
You still don't believe, you're not convinced that he's dead?
No, not really. Mainly because this has been said so many times. Right? So, look, at some point he's going to die, but we've heard this so many times over
the years.
Yeah,
but even when credible, well,
different sources.
Recognized sources.
Yeah.
You know, this is
exactly
not...
Exactly why I'm having... Yeah, exactly
when
why
they
I'm
report
having this
it,
conversation now.
Okay. Let's not fight about it.
Yeah, so I think there might be some truth to it this time.
There might be. Okay. Still not convinced.
No, but it's true, Damon. There are quite a few stories that are... They're not saying it outright. They're saying sources say.
Oh, dear.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so
and I think it's because they've been burned before by having false news.
Okay.
I mean, the one headline says, Mugabe dies? So it's not abnormal to think that it might not have happened.
Yeah, regardless of all of that, the top three trending topics currently on Twitter all have to pertain to Mugabe. The third is Singapore, so everything that has to do with that. Second is hashtag Robert Mugabe, and the first is hashtag RIP Mugabe.
Ooh.
Yeah, six actually.
Let's see how things unfold, during the day. But yeah, I think he might be gone. He might have clocked out.
Sixth on Twitter is rest in peace, and seventh on Twitter is Zimbabwe. So clearly a lot of people are latching on to this. Let's, you know, we've covered our bases. We've said, you know, sources and reportedly. So let's see what happens, as rightfully you've said, Alson. Let's see what happens over the course of the day.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, okay. Thank you so much for calling us and being on the ball that quickly, Alson.
Sure. All right. Enjoy your weekend, good people.
Awesome. Cheers, Alson.
All right. Cheers.
All righty. So, yeah, Damon, you actually bring up a good point and something I've also often wondered about quite a lot. It has to do with the respect that someone gets instantly when they've passed on.
Yeah.
And I've found that a little odd.
Yeah. Deep Fried Man, bless him, he tweeted something about a year ago. Mm-hmm. He says the best PR, if he was a PR person, the best advice he would say to a client is die.
Jeez.
Because once you're dead, well, obviously it was a joke. Everyone speaks wonderfully about you.
Because never dull day when X person was
around. Well, look what's happened with Watson. Whose first name now escapes Gavin Watson.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there were so many allegations against him. He had a terrible reputation. Nothing had been proven in a court of law yet. But all these, since he's passed away, all these positive messages about him. I'm sorry for his family and condolences and everything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying you must be callous and be cold-hearted about it. But to carry on about, he was a man of God. He preached the Bible every day. He was this. It's just, come on. Really? You know?
Well, officially, just quickly onto this point, President of Zimbabwe Emmerson Mnangagwa has confirmed it on Twitter, saying, "It is with the utmost sadness that I announce the passing on of Zimbabwe's founding father and former president, Robert Mugabe. Mugabe was an icon of liberation, a pan-Africanist who dedicated his life to the emancipation and empowerment of his people. His contribution to the history of our nation and continent will never be forgotten. May his soul rest in eternal peace."
Well, there you go. That proves my point.
Yeah. So that's confirmed, I guess. Mm. Yeah. I mean, what other confirmation do we need? And looking just on what people are now posting on social media, to your point as well, Damon, it is actually interesting to see what people are saying about him. You know, some guy, Malusi, says, "I've learned that the Zimbabwe old man is no more despite his flaws, which seemed superseding his good deeds. The man stood firm on a vision for African independence. May his vision live amongst those with its interest at heart." So no one's going to say anything unbecoming.
It's crazy. It's crazy. What do you have to do to...
It's also a cultural thing. It's respect for the dead.
Mm.
Don't talk about the dead, blah, blah, blah. It's like that.
That's the thing.
It's such an odd human thing that we do. Or an odd cultural thing that we do.
Mm.
I mean, death is just death. It's fact. It is what it is.
Mm.
No one can confirm what happens after we die, but come on. If you were a jackass in real life when you're alive, let's keep your jackass spirit going.
Mm.
I want a very honest funeral one day. Just someone standing up at a podium going, "Whoa.
Look, I have no doubt.
How annoying was he?"
Look, I have no doubt that some columnist.
There we go.
Some columnist. There, I've grown. We'll write a clever piece and an analysis on Mugabe's life, and it'll be balanced, and they'll point out the positives and the negatives, and you'll get that. It's just that the ordinary person in the streets and your politicians, it's all positive, positive, positive.
Yeah.
There'll even
be people in Zimbabwe who hated the man but will now force cry and mourn.
It is what it is. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, I wonder what the implications of something like this will be.
No, there aren't. I don't think there are implications, because he hasn't been the president now for a good, 2 years almost? And Mnangagwa hasn't exactly turned Zimbabwe around.
Mm.
And I don't think it's not going to do much. It's not going to have much effect on what's going on.
So much for No Politics Friday.
Yeah.
Mugabe bursting in on our No Politics Friday like that.
Yeah, very rude.
I do feel like if we can just go back on a news story, I feel like we skipped over a little bit the protest action yesterday in Cape Town, where 1,000 people, more than 1,000 people, gathered outside Parliament in Cape Town, where they are demanding that President Cyril Ramaphosa take action amid a growing crisis of violence against women. And what was really interesting to note is that most of the protesters were women, but there were a lot of men there too, who are angry about what's going on in the country. It obviously all follows on from well-publicized stories. Most recently, Uyinene, who was raped and murdered at the local post office.
Yeah.
I think some interesting things that I noted online was, you know, the statistics are that every 3 hours a woman is murdered in South Africa. And I saw one image in particular on Twitter where they'd crossed that out and said, a man murders a woman every 3 hours in South Africa.
Yeah. It just and that doesn't happen that someone
drives
dies.
It home.
Yeah.
Yeah. But some really fruitful words came out of Cyril Ramaphosa's mouth, where he said, the nation is in deep mourning. We are all deeply disturbed by the killing of women. He's reconfirmed the government's commitment to do everything in its power to make sure those accused are arrested and dealt with.
Look, I know this is our version of No Politics Friday, but yeah, let's just touch and discuss this. We did bring it up a little on the Burning Platform yesterday, but I saw the president in Cape Town yesterday, just covered on the news, and I think his comments are pandering to public. I don't think there's enough substance to what he's saying.
Mm.
These are big, broad statements.
Yeah.
I just want to say death penalty and punishment for anyone who abuses a woman or kills a woman and no parole and no bail. I mean, these are big, broad statements.
Mm.
And the reason why I say pandering to public, because I think he was encouraged more by cheers of the crowd around him than actually this is something he sat and he strategized over and he thought about and he wrote and he thought, okay, cool, this is time for me to announce this. I just thought he was now feeling pressure to say something or the other. Mm. And I've been repeating on the show this week, I just think he should have said something sooner. It is maybe my bar or standard is a little too low, but also if I was perhaps advising him, I don't think it takes rocket science or he needed to say or do tons to really alleviate the tension in the country this week. All he had to do on Sunday night or Monday morning was just appear somewhere. It is such a basic thing to do, but if he had appeared at one of these calm protests, if he had just been with
one of those vigils,
if he had just been with the families of one of the victims who had succumbed to something this week and just been there and, you know, invited a bunch loads of media, that was enough. I think that's all you have to do. As a leader, I think in this case, all you have to take up the responsibility of just being present, showing up, and assuring people of your position.
Well, in my opinion. Takes me back to...
Could he have done much more? Absolutely. But I think if he had just assured people of his position...
Mm.
He waited, I think, up until...
Hell, even a tweet would have been...
No, you see...
How many days did he wait? Four days.
For me, I saw the video clips that he posted on Wednesday afternoon, where, in my opinion, he looked a little too bored. And then, yeah, the presidency and the official government account on social media was posting all of these condolences and whatnot. But that, in my opinion, was not enough. You guys let me know.
I can't remember what point I was going to raise.
sorry to interject. But yeah.
But yeah. I really can't remember.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to put myself in President Ramaphosa's shoes. What was going through his mind? Why did he wait so long? Why did he not react straight away? Because that could have been a normal, natural reaction. I mean, what was he thinking? It's just very odd. Mm. Very odd.
Well, in a segue to this story, did we know that a South African woman was caught up in the Jeffrey Epstein sex snare?
Yes. Well, there was a little story about it.
No, I hadn't heard of this.
Okay.
It was like she's one of these ex-South Africans who lives in America.
Hmm.
She's now 48 years old now. And she claims she was one of the victims.
What's more to that?
She's South African. Brilliant.
What?
Okay.
Is that it?
No, I was just waiting for you to finish.
I'm finished, sorry.
Okay. So she's part of the hearings in the federal courtroom in New York City this week.
Yeah.
She's among 23 of the alleged pedophile's victims who attended this hearing. The statement she made was really, I quite enjoyed the way that she put this into words, because it hasn't been put into words properly by any of the victims. So she was sent back to South Africa on a mission by Epstein to recruit a friend to become one of the sex slaves.
Hmm.
She herself, her name is Sarah Ransom, she backed out of the plan, claiming in court papers she didn't want to subject the other girl to a life of sexual servitude that she herself had found herself in. She said, "I'd like to acknowledge and extend my gratitude to the prosecutors from the Southern District of New York for pursuing justice on behalf of the victims. Please, please finish what you have started."
Oh.
She said, we the victims are still here. We're prepared to tell the truth, and we know he did not act alone." So I just thought that was quite a much fuller statement than we're getting from these alleged victims.
It was the first story that I saw where the term sex slaves came in.
Mm.
Did I miss something? Has that come up before, the term sex slaves? I just thought he had some really raucous parties where things happened which shouldn't have happened.
She's saying she was part of an international sex trafficking ring.
Wow.
Where she was sent out to recruit other women.
Sure. So it's even bigger and worse than what originally came out.
Yeah, well, even though we haven't covered some of these updates over the past couple of days and weeks, but I've also heard there was a fake modeling agency that was set up by an associate of his to get underage girls as well. So these things are a little too common as this story.
It certainly wasn't just getting a couple of girls on the island for some fun.
No.
This was an orchestrated actual operation.
Mm.
Quite scary.
And sorry if it seems like we're just jumping to and fro between some stories, but what caught my attention, what I've just realized now is, and I know it might be a little too hashtag too soon or insensitive right now, but it is 7:30. We just broke the news of Mugabe passing away a couple of minutes ago, but we have our death pool.
Oh!
And former President Robert Mugabe was on our death pool.
And who chose him?
Well, Gareth had him.
Oh, so Gareth won.
Huh.
So what does Gareth win? Mediterranean cruise?
He gets 5 points because we work off 100 as an age, and Mugabe was 95, okay. So he gets 5 points from that.
There you go.
Yeah.
Who else is on the pool? Like, who's selected who?
So here's a bit of an update. So Gareth has Harrison Ford, Macaulay Culkin, George Bush Sr., who's passed away, O.J. Simpson, Sean Connery, Corey Feldman, Mick Jagger, Ben Karpinski, Prince Philip, Mel Brooks, Bob Mugabe, Jimmy Carter, and Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke, Jimmy Carter, those are good ones, Gareth. Clever. Because those guys are old.
They aren't good with the current... well,
with the formula.
But yeah, with the current formula we have.
You don't get a lot of points for those.
Yeah. Fair enough, but he's still a winner.
The younger, the better.
Yes, but statistically, Gareth is still looking much stronger than the rest of you.
So I have Desmond Dube, John McCain, who's passed away.
Desmond Dube?
Yeah.
But I mean, he's a young comedian guy.
Hey, you never know, Damon.
Windy, 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 windy. That's the Toyota Taz ad when the Toyota Taz first came out.
I'm sorry.
And he was washing the windows. Okay. Windy, 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 windy. And now he does those funeral ads. How those funeral ads, eh? Yo. Clientele.
Yes.
Please die and pay your premiums.
Okay. I have Desmond Dube, John McCain, Kirk Douglas, Barbara Walters, Gareth Cliff, Charlene Surtee Richards, Michael Caine, Cher, Hulk Hogan, Johan Stemmett, Caitlin Jenner, Tito Jackson, and Meg Ryan.
Okay, you had two very good ones there near the beginning.
Well, John McCain has passed away.
Yeah, okay, so you got some points.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Kirk Douglas.
Kirk Douglas is 103 years old.
So I will have points deducted.
Yes.
So he's actually not a good one for
you
to have.
But what were you thinking when you chose Kirk Douglas?
We didn't choose all of these. We had to pick them out of a...
I understand.
Yeah.
And his wife's alive as well, Kirk Douglas. I think she's 99 maybe, or 100. Sure.
I feel like Michael will pass away before.
You know that Michael Douglas is in his 70s. You know that? I think he's 72. Is that amazing? Sure.
I don't think
people,
about that.
People get older, hey?
Yeah.
Don't realize it. Creeps on you.
Well, also just going to some messages very quickly. 0797482090. Who is this? Riggy says, wasn't that ad Cecil of Desmond Dube?
He did. You're right. You're right. The Toyota Taz was somebody else. That was David Cow, the comedian. I got my comedians mixed up.
Okay.
Sorry, it was Cecil.
Ropwa adds, hectic morning I had already. And it's just only starting, Askies. Or rather, this is yesterday, because they go on to say, I have a test in a few, and well, as always, every morning I'm using public transport. I usually start by calling my cousin, who's a taxi driver, but today he didn't respond. I let it go a few moments later, I'm stuck in traffic, and behold, apparently my brother was involved in an accident.
Oh no, jeez.
And that's why he wasn't responding.
Yeah, but it could be a bumper bashing or a serious accident. We need details. I'm sorry to sound morbid.
Okay. Oy, excuse. Yeah, didn't mean to. Well, you sent it to us. So, Robo, yeah, thinking of you and your family then has... Oh, that's awkward. All right. And then who is this who sent us a voice note? Brendan. Brendan sent us a voice note. Let's listen to that.
Are you just going to play it without pre-screen? Has it been pre-screened?
Look, Damon, this is one of the things I think you're...
But it could be a terribly boring, horrible, irrelevant voice note.
Yeah.
But go with it.
Let's see.
Let's live dangerously.
Okay, Brendan.
I mean, you brought me, yeah?
Let's... No, don't be self-deprecating.
Go for it.
Okay, let's... This is Brendan's voice note.
I'm
hearing two different things.
Yeah, it's you.
He was recording us.
Oh,
not so good.
Let's give him a bit of a chance. No, I need it, and I know
you want to give him another chance.
Can't hear him though.
No, but what he's doing is just unacceptable. It's so unprofessional.
Ooh.
No, it's like breathing heavily into the microphone and burping and funny things and unacceptable things like that.
Let's just give him some.
You're gonna do it again? Okay.
Okay.
It's your show,
Brendan. Oh, okay. Let's go. No, I'm sorry. Sorry, Brendan.
Yeah, you just played exactly the same thing again. So should we do a quick voice note workshop? Please switch off your
app,
whatever you listen
to, Central app,
before you record something.
Yeah, excuse Brendan, but yeah, this is not helping at all. A lot of people, and even some people who aren't listening live, are sending us the information of former President Robert Mugabe passing away, just letting us know around that. Oh, who is this? Terrell, who says, and I'm going to quote directly, fuck that half-hilter son of a bitch. Well,
What did he say? What?
Fuck that half Hitler son of a bitch. Someone isn't mincing their words this morning. Okay. Yeah. A lot of people still commenting on Robin Mugabe passing away. And then Eddie adds, I would say Britney Spears is next to die. It's not always necessarily about age. I honestly think Britney will die soon.
That's not nice.
But, you know.
Leave Britney alone!
But I don't even know what's happening with her. I think is she in rehab or what's happening? What motivates that?
I think she's out of the limelight, as far as I know. I don't think she's doing much. I could be wrong.
Yeah, she was in and out of rehab, and that was a thing a little while ago. So let's see. Who is this? Justice says, who has Clint Eastwood on the death penalty?
Deathpool.
Yes, Ben actually had Clint. So we'll still keep him on the cards. And, well, Brendan has tried to redeem himself by sending another voice note.
Okay. Do you believe in second chances?
Well, obviously he does because he already has given him a second chance.
Okay, do you believe?
So now we're going in for the third.
Third chance.
Guys, come on. Cut him some slack here.
Okay.
Brendan, I hope this is good. All right, let's listen to what Brendan says.
I'm sorry, guys. I didn't know that it would record your voices in the background. What I was saying in my voice note is a lot of women are responsible for their own abuse because they stay in relationships where guys abuse them. They have the guy arrested. The next day, they drop charges. They leave the guy. They take him back next week. So women must take responsibility and leave abusive partners.
No, more than that, Damon. That's actually quite infuriating, to be quite honest.
Carry on.
Why are men abusing women in the first place, Brendan, whatever your name is? That's all I have to say.
That was infuriating.
It's a very, very weak attempt. At this sensitive time. No, I'm sorry.
Don't like voice notes. Not a fan of voice notes. Because now we can't interrogate Brendan and tell him, you know, put him in his place. And now he'll send another voice note and then you will play it again.
Oh, goodness.
And he will respond.
I think we've opened up a can of worms here because now everyone is sending voice notes. Who is this? This is Sean. Let's listen to a bit of it. We'll cut it if it isn't interesting. So, Sean, this is what Sean has to say this morning.
Do you guys think that this Jeffrey Epstein sex island thing, don't know if you guys have ever watched the movies Hostel, but yeah, just putting it out there, what if those sort of things was also going on there? Because you never know.
I don't understand that. Hostel.
I've watched one of the movies. It's a little twisted, but yeah, that is more like a thriller and they were killing people.
Yeah,
it was a lot of twists and turns in that. Fabian sent us a voice note as well, so clearly let's listen to that too.
I think she's out.
Morning, bitches. It's my bachelor weekend. I am so stoked. It's Friday. It's all good times. I'm having a bit of a throwback here. I'm driving down the road that I used to go to school with, the same road that I used to drive to school 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And I remember listening to Gareth Cliff at that time, driving to school every morning, highlight of the morning, making sure that we time it, that I'm in the car between sort of 6:45 and 7:30-ish. And it was just cool to know that, you know, on the same road where I've listened to Cliff Central, or Gareth Cliff rather, and his team, 15 years ago, it's now the same, you know, and this time I'm going through to my bachelor's. So yeah, good times. Shot, guys, enjoy your weekend. I definitely will.
Halala, congratulations. It's his bachelor weekend, so I mean, he's getting married, so congratulations.
No, I love it. I've bumped into the odd person of two or three people over the years, and they'll be like in their early 20s or 25 years old, and they'll say to me, oh, I went to school listening to you, and I think to myself, oi, man, am I that damn old?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
And it happens.
What else is in the news?
Well, I'm just looking at Britney Spears now, and I see that her dad has been accused of abuse by...
Abusing whom?
Do you remember Kevin Federline, the first? I think she was the second husband.
Well, Kevin.
I think she's still married to him.
No, not anymore.
Kevin Federline.
Yeah,
but I thought they were still married.
Okay. Kevin is the father of Britney's kids.
Correct.
Yeah. So Britney's father abused Kevin Federline?
So the father is named Jamie Spears. He is being accused by Britney's ex, Kevin Federline, mm-hmm. of abusing their 13-year-old son. And now this is all going on, going on because there is a new custody deal that is being bashed out.
Huh.
What does Kevin want in the process?
So she's got a lot of stuff going on at the moment. But I don't think she's...
No, the last thing I read about...
To death.
Yeah, but the last thing I read about Britney is that she was still under curatorship. She's still not responsible for her estate, her finances, legal, whatevers.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
That curatorship is still...
Her father's.
Is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But honestly... the story also
is a conservator.
Yeah, and also the story is also a bit vague because what do they mean by abuse? Physical abuse, sexual abuse, you know, what does it all mean?
But adding to that, I do know that Kevin has, like, if I'm not mistaken, like 4 or 5 kids in total. And Britney's just like the mother of 2 of his kids. So he has other baby mamas and he's not exactly having the most fruitful career. So
can you believe he's 41 now?
He might just be trying to get money from wherever possible. And, you know, with a 13-year-old, he knows that there's give or take 5 more years before he doesn't really have some sort of, like, child support money coming in.
So the only sort of hint of the abuse story that we're getting is that the son was visiting their grandfather at his condo in California mm-hmm. when he allegedly got into an argument. And he reportedly felt unsafe and locked himself in a room. But Jamie managed to break in and allegedly shook the boy.
Oh.
That's according to a law enforcement source.
Oh, goodness.
So yeah, not a great time at the moment for her.
Take that with a pinch of salt. When you have millions of dollars, go and sit on a jet ski and on a private jet and see how happy you feel.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes, you may.
When this Amy Lee, a grade R child in Thunderbell Park, was originally kidnapped and then 24 hours later or so... She was found there. She was dropped off in the middle of at 2 o'clock in the morning. I immediately said to myself, hey, there's more to this story. This isn't a random kidnapping. I mean, it was obvious, right?
When it first broke that she'd been kidnapped,
yes,
I said that I thought it would be a family member.
Well, you were very close.
Yeah.
So they've arrested 3 people, and one of the people is a woman who's a teacher at the school, mm-hmm. and is also a good close friend of the parents.
Yeah,
I mean, but what's interesting? But people were still, with all the xenophobic violence and the terrible crimes against women recently.
Yeah,
it's amazing how people on social media, in their complaints and criticisms and problems with all those issues, they brought the Amy Lee story into the same category, and I pointed out on social media, no, this Jamie Lee incident, you cannot include it in your general violence and crime in South Africa. This is a unique case.
Amy Lee.
What did I say?
Jamie.
Oh, sorry. Jamie Spears, Jamie Lee.
Yes.
And it's interesting how people just don't think.
Yeah.
And, you know, you need to just follow the news or you watch the crime channel. To me, it was just one of those obvious things that, obviously, there's more to the story.
Mm.
This is not just why did they choose Amy Lee? How did they have the contact details of the father? Why was the child released without the ransom being delivered? Mm. So many questions.
Yeah.
So obvious, but yet so many people out there just jumping to, oh, this is all part of, people were saying, what's wrong with this country? It's got nothing to do with the country. It was a unique case.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Anyway.
Yeah, I also remember bringing up the fact that, you know, an incident like this, so personal and so direct.
Yes.
There has to be something
it's the same,
more going on.
I think same with the Mark Batchelor assassination that
Absolutely.
Happened.
Absolutely.
Same thing. People were on this bandwagon. Ah, this terrible country. It's got... No. This was not a random act of violence. This was a target-specific assassination.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I'm not so clever. I'm not the cleverest person on earth. I scraped through school. Why do I know this? There must be some really dumb people out there. It's really scary.
You're my worldly, Damon.
Am I worldly?
Worldly.
Oy vey, Smear. Tando.
That's a compliment. You can take that compliment.
Thank you.
Well, what's quite interesting to note is that a 12-year-old schoolgirl went missing on Friday in Robertson, in the Western Cape. I used to live just near there. And she was just yesterday dropped off at a police station in Abaki. But it's interesting how the story isn't made anything. There's nothing made of the story because she's from a small town.
And what do they have any more details?
No.
She didn't go on a joyride somewhere?
No, she went for a walk and she was picked up on her way to a shop, I think.
Wow. Sure.
Okay, so we have more voice notes coming in. This one is coming from Sbo. We want to take a listen to that.
I'm not going to... it's your show. If you want my personal opinion on voice notes...
I must say I'm with Damon on this.
Yeah.
I wouldn't play them without listening to them
voice notes.
At the risk of them being boring.
Voice notes have actually destroyed radio in general.
Sbo, I'm still putting my whole credibility on the line by playing your voice notes here. So I hope it is worth it. Let's see what Sbo has to say.
It's all thumbs.
I have to absolutely agree with Leanne. That voice note from Brendan was a whole pile of shit. You absolutely cannot use that as an excuse. Victim blaming in this country is exactly why women in this country are being murdered and raped and killed every fucking day. So it's absolutely unacceptable for Brendan to use that as an excuse. Men just need to do better. Men need to stop abusing women so that women can, you know, live in peace.
I'm very glad that we played that, you see. But it has reminded me of how angry I was earlier.
Exactly. But having said that, we can't talk to him now. We can't have a conversation with that guy because it's a voice note. But anyway... Enough on my pontificating.
Back to the Amy Lee story, I'm presuming. Heather sent us a message and said, don't hold me to this, but apparently the mother is involved with the teacher and was the mastermind behind it. Apparently the mother was divorcing the father and needed money.
Okay, that's been going around, but none of that has been verified. So I would not confirm that. That is not confirmed at this stage. But yes, that's what people are saying.
And then someone else sent us a message saying, I agree, Leanne, but a lot of abuse happens at home. We can cut out a lot of abuse if we leave abusive partners. I'm against women abuse.
No, but why is the person abusive in the first place? Doesn't matter if you've married them, if you've lived with them, if you've just met them, if you've known them all your life. It doesn't matter. They shouldn't be an abuser. That's it. Full stop.
True. Continuing with the message, he goes on to say, I'm against women abuse, but I've seen so many women staying in bad relationships, even know of cases where women are murdered. There we go. By their partner.
I can't believe we need to go into this, but can I just briefly try and get into it?
Go ahead.
Oy vey. That's all part of the cycle. It's a whole cycle. You can't judge the woman for staying in the relationship because that's all part of the abuse. The woman may be in a situation where she can't leave the relationship. But that's
still irrelevant. That's irrelevant.
It is irrelevant, but again, to say, oh, she must leave the relationship, it's not as simple as that.
No, it isn't. But also, that person should not be abusive in the first place.
That's the beginning of it all, yes. But there's a bigger picture which society has to still deal with and understand.
You want to plan your sentence
what is causing all this? Why? What creates an abusive man? What creates a rapist? What creates a murderer? That's what society and the law and the medical profession and whatever needs to get into, and that is the thing. A murderer and a rapist and an abuser doesn't just come from nowhere.
Yeah,
and that's where we have to. That's the root of it all, and it's all about broken families in the formative years when these abusers were children. Mm-hmm. The majority of these abusers were abused themselves as children, so it goes back generations. It's a huge myriad of a complicated scenario. People write books, people do dissertations and whatever the word I'm looking for on this. It's not just so let's bring back the death penalty. What? That's not the answer.
Yeah. Well, this is a clip from some of the protests that have been going on this
week. Oh, you're going to play that one I sent you?
Yeah, I think let's take a listen to it, and then I do want to hear your comments on this.
Oh, the slaughter on our vaginas. I want to say, los my pusa.
There you go. That sums it up.
Wow. I thought I was angry.
Yeah. I think you should play it again.
No, I don't think so, David.
Oh, okay.
Fine, that's just being juvenile, wanting to hear the swear words again, quite honestly.
That's why I sent it.
Yes.
Okay, Damon, I'll humor you.
Oh, the slaughter on our vaginas. I want to say, los my pusa.
There you go.
Okay. Hoi, hoi, hoi. What a week. What a week. I don't know. I've done the show every single day of this week, and I still haven't properly formulated an opinion around everything that's going on this week. It's just hectic, and it's all a lot.
But you will confirm that his name is Elon Musk, right? I then got it wrong myself.
As opposed to?
Elon Musk. I still can't get over that. Michael Flax, thank you.
Okay, last voice note. You guys will all hate me for this. Last voice note before we get into George Meany this morning. I'm here for the people. I'm here for giving cutting everyone some
If
slack.
You were here for the people, you wouldn't be playing so many voice notes. Yeah, I said
okay. This is Celeste sending us a voice note.
If you listen to Julius Malema at the presser yesterday, he was on point. We are fucked up in this country when we're talking about xenophobia, abuse against women and children, the responsibility or accountability of politicians, the justice system. Everything is messed up, and I've just decided that I'm no longer going to participate. And as for Brendan and his stupid flipping message, Brendan, go and take a long walk off a short bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
with you on that.
Okay, that's Celeste sending us a voice note.
Thanks, Celeste.
Hoi, all right.
Should we get to some lighter, hopefully informative, happy stuff?
A different take on things.
Yes.
And some more news, well, particularly from the motoring world. Good morning, Mr. Meany.
How's it, Sia? Hello, Leanne. Hello, Damon.
How are you doing? George Meany.
Yeah, no, I'm doing fine. Thank you.
We need to learn some more this morning. Let's find out what's happening in the world of motoring, particularly with the Auto Central PowerPod. Let's get straight into it.
The Porsche stable is unveiling their first full electric Porsche, and it's called the Porsche Taycan.
Well, it's about time.
It's about bloody time. So, you know, this Porsche may be able to rival the likes of Tesla's Roadster, but who knows? I mean, the one good thing, or should I say, the one benefit of Tesla is that they've entered the market as a pure electric car player. And usually when a pure player enters the market, they gain momentum faster than the legacy brands. So so it remains to be seen, but the Taycan is positioned to take on Tesla's Roadster, and will be revealed in the next week or so, and will retail for about $90,000 US, which is what, about 1.5 million?
So is it more expensive than the Teslas?
It is around about a similar price to a Model S with Ludacris, which is the quick version, the four-wheel drive Tesla version. So it's around about a similar price to that. So I think they're trying to take on the sports segment as well as take on the Model S. And the Model S isn't a sports car, it's a sedan. But it's one of the quickest cars in the world. It rivals a lot of supercars. I mean, the Tesla with Ludacris Model S does 0 to 100 in close to 3 seconds.
Sure.
So it is an incredibly quick car, and let's see what this Porsche Taycan delivers. I love Porsche per se, but it's about time that that sports car started coming in electric models. I think this is a good thing. Let's see when it gets to South Africa. Don't know the date for that yet, but it'll be unveiled in places like China and the big markets in the next week or so.
Okay.
Lovely, lovely piece of news. But something closer to home. All Toyota sold in South Africa from September 2019 will include in-car Wi-Fi.
very good.
Wow. With a free 15 gigabytes of connectivity when you buy the car that you can top up. So, you know, just don't text and drive.
Would you be able to have children after this?
What do you mean?
That's a good point.
With the radiation and microwaves and what's the story on that?
I mean, you have Wi-Fi at home.
No, but this is in your car. It's like you feel like it's an enclosed attack.
Feels like a microwave.
I'm just thinking.
There's a lot written about EMF signals or EMS waves, electromagnetic signals inside enclosed spaces. And, you know, they say if you've got Wi-Fi in your house, switch it off at night when you sleep.
Really?
Mm. Because these things penetrate your body.
Oh, God. George, this isn't what
I need to know.
No, there
are some families that don't even allow it in their homes.
Yeah. But 5G is coming, and 5G is an even smaller wave, which travels shorter distances but is a lot more powerful. So who knows what the effect of 5G is going to have on our bodies.
There's so many other effects on our bodies. I'd take the risk for faster Wi-Fi.
I read a seriously doom and gloom article about 5G, and I thought to myself, oi. Okay, that's enough of that article.
There's a lot of doom and gloomers. Absolutely.
And I tossed it aside.
But nobody really knows what the real effects are of these EMS signals. They know that it's negative, but to what degree? There's some positive, some negative. And then we are heading for Child Passenger Safety Week for the third year in a row. So Child Passenger Safety Week starts on the 9th of September and runs through to the 16th of September, and it's a worldwide safety week. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I still constantly see drivers in cars with their kids running around the back seat.
Mm.
I think it's ludicrous.
Let's be honest here. I grew up in the 80s when I would sit in the middle of the back seat with one hand on mom's shoulder, one hand on dad's. And if we slammed on brakes, I'd hit my face on the gear knob. And it was like, oopsie daisy.
I remember when I was a toddler, and, you know, I don't know if everybody else is like this, but I only remember bad incidents and really good incidents. So really bad ones, really good ones. The stuff in the middle, you start to forget as you get older. And I remember a car accident we had. My dad and my mom were in the front seat, and my dad crossed a main road, and another car skipped the stop street.
Oh goodness!
And hit us on the front right hand side. And the image I remember, and not in your situation, sitting in the back, in the middle, my sister was next to me. I was the oldest, so I got dibs on the middle. And all I remember was my parents' arms flying backwards during the accident to try and shield us from flying all over the car.
Yeah.
And fortunately, there were no serious injuries. But
it didn't make us wear our seatbelts again.
It didn't make us wear our seatbelts. But, you know, since then, law has progressed. And in South Africa, I think a few people know that under the age of 3, there is a law that says that children under the age of 3 have to be securely strapped into a car seat.
Yes, and then there are rules regarding that particular car seat, which way it faces.
Exactly.
Is it on the front seat or the back seat?
Yes.
Airbags, etc.
Exactly. So you know, 93% of motorists, taxi services, bus services flaunt this law. Believe it or not, 93% of people don't adhere to this law.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have I spotted you where a car in front of me and you see the little toddler standing up on one of the seats? It's
scary. I want to start, get out the window and say, listen here, do you know what you're doing?
I actually do that. I was cycling and I told, and they looked at me like I was mad.
You know, everyone just never seems to care much up until it happens to you.
To them, yes.
So you think it's not a big deal. It is whatever it is. Oh, the child is crying. Let's just amuse him or her somehow. So let her be and let her dance around or play around the backseat. Up until something bad happens, then they regret the whole entire decision.
You know, lean out the window and tell the person they're crazy. And, you know, I don't think they'll do anything except get road rage, to be honest. I'm not a road rage advocate. So I don't get road rage. Do you get road rage?
Yeah, badly.
Badly.
Yeah. I haven't had an incident in a while, but when I do, it's big.
There's a couple of people who get road rage. Do you get road rage, Damon?
No, I can't.
You can't?
Because it's a person like my size. If I get out my car, somebody will shoot me dead.
Out of fear?
Yeah, they'll shoot me.
I'm sure. See, it doesn't even like driving, so I'm not going
to
even ask you.
Yeah, no. And I always try to be like Deepak Chopra.
I find a smile and a wave. It actually calms me.
Yes.
I smile and I wave.
I absolutely just, I let people go. I'm like, whatever. You know what? My blood pressure is still the same. Yours is screwed.
See, I do that for like a few months and then it just builds up.
It explodes.
I say, well done for getting to the red traffic light before me. Wow.
You're 30 seconds ahead.
And then my daughter said, Daddy, who are you talking to?
So here's a couple of safety tips for would-be people who want to actually protect their kids in their cars. Always use a car seat, even on short trips. It doesn't matter. Just because you're going out to the shop doesn't mean you mustn't put your child in the car seat. Avoid secondhand car seats. I think this is quite a big one. You don't know what that car seat has been through. Mm. You don't know whether it can withstand an accident or not. Use the correct size car seat. A lot of people, they buy a car seat for their baby and then the child outgrows the car seat. Install the car seat correctly. I mean, I've got a little one. And I chose to rather spend a little bit more and get an ISOFIX, which is then fixed to the actual car instead of just using the seatbelts. But seatbelts still work. So strap your flipping kids into the car, please.
But you have to be really clever to install those seats.
Only the first time. I mean, I took about 30 minutes to figure this thing out. And now it was all right.
I get the person from the shop to install it for me and I give him a 20 rand tip. I just don't have a choice.
Well, you just saved yourself about half an hour. So
yeah.
And then I heard you all talking about the xenophobic attacks in the last week, which is horrific. But yeah.
Which is the safest car to be in?
No, which is the safest dealership to be at? Because during the last week, a couple of dealerships were actually burnt to the ground.
Wow!
And in particular, two car dealerships in Carl and Jewel Street were among those damaged, where over 50 cars were burnt to nothing.
Mm. And am I right in saying that they would probably explode if they had petrol in them?
Yeah, so I suppose if the petrol caught a light and the fuel tank ruptured and caused pressure, then it would explode, yes.
But the one dealership said they weren't insured.
Yes.
Oh my lord.
Yes. Their lives are finished. Their lives are finished.
Sure. I mean, you can imagine having 30, 40 cars at 200, 300,000 rand a car. You've got no insurance.
No.
Aina.
It's absolutely horrific. So it's sad, but you know, Nigeria has come out saying they want to protect their citizens from the South African xenophobic attacks. But then you fast forward and you go to Zimbabwe, and the Zimbabweans are attacking South African shop owners. Mm. In Zimbabwe.
So it's like a genuine tit for tat.
So now, is this becoming a tit for tat? Because Nigeria president has now spoken to Cyril Ramaphosa saying, we have to protect the Nigerians in South Africa. Now, I agree with him, but what is the mechanism to do that?
Yeah. Like,
is it Zimbabwe?
Personal bodyguards?
You know, how far does this go? And how do we solve it?
Mm.
How do we solve it? Terrible. Don't want to end on that note, but that's all I got.
No.
Well, I'll end on this note.
That's what you left us with.
a popular radio station in Zambia has banned South African music because of the xenophobic attacks.
Wow.
Any South African artists.
Well, that's going to fix everything up.
Look, you know, I don't get it. I just don't get
it. A lot of people are trying to do things, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I think
it's not fixing the root.
The crickets explain it.
What?
Silence.
Yeah. The radio silence.
I needed a moment to digest that and analyze it. Okay, George. Sure. I got that. Eventually.
You got it.
George, you don't have to leave on that note. Rather, what's on the cards for you this weekend?
So I've been flying my aircraft quite a bit lately. So tomorrow I'm going to take a break from that.
Mm-hmm.
And probably try and sleep in a little bit. When you've got a toddler, that becomes a thing of the past.
Look, the weather allows for it right now.
And the weather's perfect for it.
Ooh. Leanne, what are you up to this weekend?
I haven't thought of it yet. I'm surprised it's Friday already.
Oh. I'll talk about that quick.
I'll let you know on Monday what happens.
Sure. We'll hold you to it then. Game on.
Well, I start off the weekend badly. I've got to drive from here to Victory Park to my child's school for a davening breakfast.
A dovening breakfast.
The children are going to do like a prayer and a singing, and it's a breakfast, and all the parents must be there, and it started 5 minutes ago. So that's not a good start.
Oi.
That's right. Yeah. If it's full, you could have been in the back.
It's 5 past, Damon. Quickly, go.
Yeah. I'll go shortly.
Damon, thank you for popping in this week with us.
Thank you.
And so,
any more voice notes before we go?
No, I don't want to.
Because those are great.
I don't want to play anything else. Thank you so much for having us on. And Gareth will be back on Monday. But we did say that he did leave us with some pre-recorded interviews, and particularly holding up a mirror and having some interesting conversations with the World Economic Forum Africa that's been taking place this week. And so we're now going to play an interview that he had with Professor Christopher Buckley, who, well, look, here's the thing. It's not the most obvious subject when it comes to technology, innovation, and sustainability, but sanitation should be on your mind. If you don't have sanitation, your life deteriorates and disease takes over. But if you do have it, you simply flush and forget. So Professor Christopher Buckley has dedicated some 40 years to the Pollution Research Group, and along with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, has studied and explored the challenges South Africa faces in water use and sustainability. So he chatted to Gareth about where we're at and what's next in the human waste management front. So these are some of the conversations that have been taking place this week with World Economic Forum Africa taking place in Cape Town. And that's what we'll leave you with this morning. So thank you so much for having us on. We'll see you on Monday morning. Have an awesome weekend. This is CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.